Yes.
Okay, great. So our next speaker is Andrew King, formerly the University of Toronto. He's going to talk about a reef conjecture, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Right. So I'm going to be talking about a bound on the chromatic number of line graphs. So Bruce Reed has a conjecture for a bound on the chromatic number of all graphs in terms of the maximum degree and the clique number. And so we solved that for line graphs. And this is joint work with Bruce and Adrian Vetta, who's also at McGill. So we've got some easy upper and lower bounds for the chromatic number of a graph. Brooks' theorem provides us, this is assuming that the graph is connected. Brooks' theorem tells us that the chromatic number is bounded above by the maximum degree unless the graph is a clique or an odd cycle. And that leads to the trivial upper bound that the chromatic number is at most delta plus 1. So in terms of a trivial lower bound, we get the fact that the chromatic number is bounded below by the clique number. So we've got our trivial bounds, and if we look at this example, the trivial upper bound is going to give us 7, and the trivial lower bound is going to give us 4. The chromatic number is actually 4, so we start to wonder whether or not we can kind of put a bound somewhere in between the upper and lower bound such that we still have an upper bound for the chromatic number. So we're able to do this for all graphs, but we can't take the average and round it up for all graphs, so far as we know. It's conjectured, but not known. So Bruce Reed proved that there is a beta such that we can take this convex combination of the upper bound and the lower bound, and it gives us another upper bound. And he conjectured that if you take the average of the upper and lower bound, round it up, that gives us an upper bound as well. So you can see that if you take a 5 cycle, this has delta 2, omega 2, and chi 3, so the roundup is actually necessary in this case. So Mike Malloy and Bruce Reed showed that the fractional chromatic number is bounded by the average of the upper bound and the lower bound. Was it? Oh, it was in the graph coloring book.
Oh yeah.
Okay, so Bruce did that, and we know that if the graph has no independent set of size 3, then this bound holds as well. And to get that result, you can look at it in terms of a matching in the complements of the graph. So if you take, you're not going to have any color classes of size 3. So if you look at the complement and take a maximum matching, that's going to give you an optimal coloring. So we're going to look at this problem for line graphs. And so if you're given a multigraph H, both the graphs and the multigraphs that I'm talking about are loopless. So if you take a multigraph H and you want to create its line graph, you set a vertex to every edge, and then you make two vertices in the line graph adjacent if their corresponding edges share an endpoint. So that's going to be the line graph of that graph. And we say that G is actually a line graph if there's some H such that G is the line graph of H. Now, line graphs can also be defined in terms of a set of forbidden induced subgraphs, but we're just going to look at it this way because it's very convenient for us. So the chromatic index is the size of the smallest proper edge coloring. So it's exactly the chromatic number of the line graph if you're given a multigraph H. And in terms of this, we have some other results, like Wissing's theorem gives us a bound, and we also have the Seymour-Goldberg conjecture, Now, the fractional chromatic index is well defined, not necessarily easily computable, but it's well defined. And the Seymour-Goldberg conjecture suggests that the chromatic index of a multigraph is within one of the fractional chromatic index. Now, by Wissing's theorem, this is obviously true if H is a simple graph, because K in this case is 1. And Caprara and Rizzi have supplied an improvement to an earlier theorem of Nishizaki and Kashiwagi. They just replaced this. There was a 0.8 here before. They've replaced it with 0.7. So this gives us kind of an approximation bound on how off the Seymour-Goldberg conjecture could possibly be. And as a corollary with what I mentioned earlier for the bound on the fractional chromatic number of a graph, we get this bound. So obviously, we want to show that this is less than this. So it suffices to show that this is at most this. And we can do that for one case of graphs. So here's the main theorem. We've got our bound, and we want to show that that's true for all line graphs. And we take the first case where the maximum degree of g is the line graph of h from here on out. If the maximum degree of g is a long way from the maximum degree of h, then the theorem and the corollary that I just mentioned immediately suggests that the main theorem is true. Now, in the more interesting case, we're going to have the maximum degree of g close to the maximum degree of h, and we're going to do this inductively or prove it in terms of a minimal counterexample contradiction, if you like to think about it that way. So, in the easy case, the clique number of g is at least the maximum degree of h, because if you take a vertex in h of maximum degree, then all these edges are incident to the same vertex, and so they're going to form a clique in the line graph. So using that fact and the lower bound on the maximum degree of g, we're going to get this inequality here, and it just falls out from there, because that is at least as big as the other thing that we were worried about in Caprara and Rizzi's theorem. So we're done in this case if the maximum degree of g is a long way from the maximum degree of h. So we're going to move on to the interesting case. And so if we take a line graph g, and suppose that all proper induced subgraphs of G satisfy the inequality that we're looking for, we want to find an independent set in G that hits every maximum clique. So we're going to extend that to a maximal stable set, so that when we take S out of G, we're going to lower both the maximum degree and the clique number. So here G sub S is just the subgraph of G induced on V minus S. So if we can rip out a stable set and lower the maximum degree and the clique number, then we can just let this stable set be a new color class, and we can use induction. So to find this stable set, we're going to find a matching in H. So if you have a matching in H, you're going to have a set of vertices or a set of edges in H, none of which share an endpoint. And so this is obviously going to be a stable set in G. So we want to look at how we can hit the maximal cliques or the maximum cliques in G. And so we can get the clique number from a maximum degree vertex in H, like this. Or we can get it in terms of a triangle with a lot of edges in it. So if we take three mutually adjacent vertices, and there are many edges between them in H, these are going to form a clique in G. So it suffices to show that we've got this a matching in H that hits all of the maximum degree vertices, like so, and also hits, or covers, it has an edge in every maximum weight triangle. And that's only necessary if the maximum weight of a triangle in H is at least the maximum degree in H. Otherwise, it doesn't contribute to the maximum degree, so we can ignore them. So if we take those three edges, they're matching, we rip them out, and we use induction on the smaller graph. So we want to show that this is possible. And because we've got this bound, this is the case where the maximum degree of G is close to the maximum degree of H, we have certain forbidden configurations. The first one is that if you have two maximum degree vertices in H, the edge between them, or the edges between them, they have to have high multiplicity. So if you've got a low multiplicity edge between these, and by low multiplicity I mean less than delta H over 2, then any one of these edges is going to be incident to more than, or at least 3 over 2 delta H minus 1 other edges in H, which we don't have because we're dealing with this case where delta of G is small. Another forbidden configuration is if you've got a maximum degree vertex in H, none of its neighbors can be incident to a high multiplicity vertex. Otherwise, this edge is incident to too many other edges in H. Likewise, we've got these two cases. So in this case, if we take an edge, one of these edges in the triangle, then that edge is going to be incident to too many others. Now, if we look at triangles with no high multiplicity edge, then if you take the sum of the multiplicities of these two edges, they are at least delta of H over 2. So if you've got a maximum degree vertex here, then this edge is incident to all these edges. So again, we're going to be out of luck. And the last two forbidden configurations that we're going to use are any two of these triangles sharing one or two vertices. So all these edges have multiplicity less than delta H over 2, and none of these can happen. So to start out with, we're going to take high multiplicity edges. So we're going to look at H and consider all the edges of multiplicity at least delta of H over 2, and we're just going to take a greedy matching on them. Then we're going to extend that matching to hit all the maximum degree vertices in H, and then we're going to extend it again so that it covers all of the maximum weight triangles if necessary. So we're going to do this, the first step, greedily. We're going to use Hall's theorem for the second step, and we're going to use these forbidden configurations and do the third step greedily as well. So if we take a greedy matching on the high multiplicity edges, in this example, we've got delta of H is equal to 4, so any edge of multiplicity at least 2 is fair game. So we just take some greedy matching on these, and we've got a set of maximum degree vertices that we haven't hit yet. So we want to extend the matching to hit all of these, and to do this we're going to use Hall's theorem. These vertices are in fact a stable set or an independent set, because if we've got two of these vertices, any edge between them has to be a high multiplicity edge, and so the only possibility is that This is a high multiplicity edge between them that's actually in the matching already, or there's another one here that's in the matching already, so this wouldn't be unhit. So this is a stable set, and this means, since all of these vertices have maximum degree, that the condition we need for Hall's theorem is satisfied. And so Hall's theorem directly states that we have this matching that we need. Now, you might be worried that these edges in the matching we had before might conflict with the edges we add, but this is impossible because of this forbidden configuration. And so we're going to move on to hitting the triangles. So consider the possibility that there's a triangle with a high multiplicity edge that wasn't hit when we grabbed a greedy matching on the high multiplicity edges. So we would have to have an edge like this that was grabbed in the matching, but this is a forbidden configuration, so that's impossible. So in the first step, we already hit all of these triangles that have high multiplicity edges in them. So we want to hit the ones with all low multiplicity edges in them now. And so what we need here are two vertices in each such triangle that we can match. So because of this forbidden subconfiguration, we're not going to have anything from the first stage in this matching like this. So the worry is that these would be blocked off by the extension of the matching to the maximum degree vertices. Now, one of these triangles could have a maximum degree vertex in it, in which case it was hit. But it's impossible for this to exist because of this problem here. If these are both maximum degree, if this is hit by an edge in the triangle, then we're done. We don't have to worry about it. The other possibility is that we actually have two maximum degree vertices that are hit by other edges here. But this edge here has low multiplicity, which is another forbidden configuration. So we can just slap edges on these remaining triangles, and so we've hit all the bad triangles. So we've got this matching. When we rip it out, we reduce the clique number of the line graph. So once again, we're just dealing with the case where the maximum degree of G is close to the maximum degree of H. So we get this matching, and that implies the main theorem. So we've got this bound. I mean, in the first case where G has high maximum degree compared to H, then the earlier theorem of Caprara and Ricci is already better than this, but when they're close together, this can be better. And this actually leads to a polytime algorithm for getting such a coloring. So that's the end of our result, and in terms of future work, there's one thing that we want to do, which is extend this result to more classes of graphs. So the question is, are there any promising graph classes? So we would want to look at a class of graphs maybe that contain line graphs and that have been studied a lot in terms of their structure. And so we've got quasi-line graphs, and a quasi-line graph is a graph in which every vertex is bisimplicial. And a bisimplicial vertex is a vertex whose neighborhood splits up into two cliques. So a line graph is a quasi-line graph because if you take an edge in our multigraph H, say, you've got these edges on one endpoint and these edges on another endpoint. You get all the corresponding vertices. And so the neighborhood of this vertex here is going to split up into two cliques. the one from this endpoint and the one from this endpoint. So all line graphs are quasi-line graphs. And an even bigger class is the class of claw-free graphs. So we have no induced K13. And again, it's easy to see that if you have a quasi-line graph, you also have a claw-free graph, because the independence number of the neighborhood of any vertex is 2 at most. And Paul Seymour and Maria Chudnovsky have done a lot of work in terms of characterizing the structure of claw-free graphs. And that's it. So these are some references. Thanks. No, there are some aspects of it that are kind of a little bit harsh to deal with. I think it's reasonable, but I don't think it's easy. I may in the future be working on it, so I hope it's not going to be too bad. I don't know if it's been proven, but I wouldn't be surprised. I mean, the only ones that I could find off the top of my head were where you take a 5 cycle, say, and multiply the edges. But I couldn't find any other counterexamples that needed the roundup.